Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's time for Cordishy and Coit on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Oh, that's cold.
Your hosts, Scott Cordishy and Nick Coit.
The most elite and extraordinary warriors.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Cordishy and Coit on WEEI.
Don't forget that on button, Scott.
I remembered this time.
Well, you thought about it.
Yeah, I did. I seen the pump fake.
I did. Get a texter. Wrapping up the Celtics call, we had a texter at the end of last hour say, what are the chances Hayward walks at the end of the season? I'm not sure if he has a player option to get out or not.
I think he might. My question would be, you know, depending on the season that he has, would he get the kind of money that he's going to get in the final year of his deal with the Celtics?
No, I mean, $34.187 million.
I don't know. It's a lot of money. I know the NBA, you know, a lot of players get a lot of money now, but yeah. I don't know. I think he'll probably stick it out. He's also strikes me as one of those, you know, money talks, obviously, right. But the loyalty guys and playing for Brad Stevens and being here, like, I don't see him doing that. I looked up the possession stat that I was looking for during the break, and it only looks like the Celtics have like two more possessions per game so far this year to start. But I said to you, Scott, like okay, so
what
maybe,
are they doing in those possessions?
Exactly.
So the ball's whipping around the perimeter.
Yeah,
they're moving the ball.
It's not
stagnant.
Quantity, it's quality.
Right.
It's quality.
Dribbling per possession, probably.
Yeah, right. There's just more. You could get more advanced in the stats there, Joe. But you know, it's just quality possessions that you're having. So it just looks better. Period. It looks better. Like that is what it is. So. Yep. Yeah, fun so far.
We haven't talked about the Bruins, and maybe we can just touch on them for a little bit right here. They've lost two in a row after just a sizzling hot start to the season.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of games ago in Montreal, Tuukka was horrendous.
I
don't want to make too much of it because, look, I think part of the reason they got out to such a great start, early in the season they weren't putting the puck in the net with regularity,
right. Mm-hmm.
And Tuukka was helping them win some games early on, along with Halak.
Mm-hmm.
But man, was he! But when he's bad, it's just that they don't have. And he was not great last night either.
No, there was. Yeah, right. No, he wasn't. There's been some overreaction around these parts. You know, like, you know, Felger. It's one game.
I know, and I heard him too.
it's one game.
But I'd be lying. You know me. You know how I feel about Tuukka. Come playoff time, I worry.
It's a trend thing.
And I know he had a great postseason last year, but when everything was on the line. He did not step up and give us one of his great games.
I put less on him, and I put more on the top line not showing up in the Stanley Cup final. Oh. Way more on those guys. They didn't show up. They didn't do anything in the Stanley Cup final. Like, that, to me, is why they lost. That's it. You know,
sometimes a great goaltender can carry you through that.
Unless you got to score to win the game. You got to score. Like, they weren't scoring in game seven. Like, no way. I don't put it on Tuukka. They wouldn't have been in that spot without Tuukka. Like, no way. I just don't turn that direction. And that's why it's so frustrating. Like, as good as the top line, as unbelievable as the top line has been to start this season.
It's ridiculous.
Where were they? Where were you guys? Like, that's what lost you the cup. Instead, I have this image of Brad Marchand, you know, letting a guy skate past him in game seven and score a goal.
Yeah,
like,
he
horrendous.
He double shifted. He was on the ice for too long.
Bad, man. Oh, just bad. Still, though, it's game seven. I don't want to go back there. But, yeah, they've cooled off here, but I'm not panicking. They got off to such a great start here. You know, they'll find it again. They will, and they've had some injuries too. Like you're out without DeBrusk, and you're juggling some lines. You got some guys up, like Senishin is up, and Solarik's up from Providence, and you're moving parts right now, trying to figure things out. It's
it's the grind of the season. Like, I'm not panicking, and I'm not overreacting about one loss in Montreal.
No, I agree.
In November. Like,
I know. It just, I think Bruins Canadiens get your blood boiling a little bit more as a Bruins fans, and when you lose a game like that,
yes,
you're like,
of course it does.
You know?
I know, but it's not, it's Yankees Red Sox in April, not Yankees Red Sox in September.
I know.
Like, it's we're early. They started off so well. Like, let's relax. They'll figure it out. They'll get healthy again. Some more guys will contribute. It's been nice to see David Krejci back in there and doing okay, you know, after he started on the shelf pretty much. And I think they got to find some combinations here once they really get healthy that work on these secondary lines. They do. They did in the postseason last year. I think it helped them get to where they needed to go. You know, having like Johansson Coyle when that was working when he was here, you know, is Coyle Bjork something that's going to work? Where do you put Danton Heinen? Does he wing on the second or the third line or something like that? Like, you know, those are things they're going to figure out and try out here. And so I'm not panicking with them yet. I'm really not. If Tuukka, you know, maybe sit Tuukka for a game or two and see what happens. You know, that's. Or Cassidy will call him on the media again and light a fire, and you know,
yep.
I'm not panicking. I'm not.
Getting back to the Patriots too for a sec. Chris Long, who spent a short time with the Patriots,
one season,
went on Ryan Russillo's podcast, and he kind of, you know, peeled back the curtain, so to speak, on what goes on in the aftermath of a loss, and. I think it's telling, and it's probably one of the reasons why Belichick and the Patriots are as successful as they are. And let me read to you what he said. This is a direct quote. This is what he said on the podcast. Yep. Quote, it's just straight up, he said. That's what you miss a lot in pro football. You want your head coach to get in there and call it how it is and do it in front of the entire team. No favorites. Don't sugarcoat it. And that's what's done in a room full of everybody that's relevant in that building from a football standpoint. Your mistakes are up there on the big screen for everybody to see. They're addressed head on. It can be ugly, but it needs to happen. Too many coaches, and this is true, split the team up. The offensive coordinator handles the offense and goes over the mistakes with the offense, and then the defensive coordinator handles the defense. Not Belichick.
No.
He gets everybody in the same room, puts all the mistakes up on the board, and you don't want to be up on that board. You don't want to be up on that screen. That's your motivation. Don't be on that screen following a loss because you don't want to be embarrassed in front of the entire team, not just your offensive mates, not just your defensive mates, the entire team. And he goes on to say, you'd think you'd assume that everybody's watching you every snap anyways, but to have that point hammered home, it really helps. The room is big and dark, no windows in the building, a lot of coffee, a lot of guys with big cups of coffee, a lot of guys shuffling in, no talking, and then there's like the awkward, quiet moment when you're like, okay, when's Bill coming in? When the small talk stops. Then Bill comes in, and it can go for an hour.
Oh, yeah.
But it's great because he gets the whole team together and say, fellas, this is why we lost.
I know the room. I know the room. I know where it's located. He's right.
Yep.
There's no windows. It's right next to the locker room. It's a big auditorium. It's got a big screen. It's where they do post-game press conferences.
Yep.
Everybody sits in there.
Yep.
And think about the guys that are going – that if they probably already went over it before they left for the bye, and they'll probably go over it again. But think about the guys that were put up on that screen this week that were making mistakes.
Yep.
Dante Hightower had one of those neutral zone infractions.
Yep.
You know, like guys like Devin McCourty. Like there's guys this week that – and that for Belichick is the ultimate fuel. Because these are his leaders. These are his guys that he leans on, and they're going to get called out, and they're going to be criticized, and they're going, and it's great. It keeps everyone in that building humble and working
accountable.
Accountable and working toward the goal that they want to work toward. It is. And we're not just pumping Belichick's tires here. It's true. This is why he's successful. This is why the Patriots. This is why we have the confidence that we have that the Patriots are going to go to Philadelphia next week and they're going to play much better, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
I'm really fascinated to see how they perform in these next four games. I really am because, again, they're stepping it up in competition. After a very weak schedule to start, they're stepping it up. And, you know, now I think you can argue the number one seed, it comes into play a little bit.
Yeah, it does.
You lose one more game and the Ravens, you know, keep winning and you're tied with Baltimore. They get the tiebreaker by virtue of the head-to-head. Now, looking at the Ravens' schedule, you know, they've got some, I guess, they don't have nearly the challenging schedule the Patriots do. They've got a couple of games. They go to Cincinnati. They're going to win that, right? Then they host the Houston Texans. That'll be a tough one.
Yep.
And they go to the L.A. Rams. I know the Rams haven't been themselves, but that'll be tough on the road in L.A. And then they host the 49ers. Then they go to the Buffalo Bills. Good defense, that's as we saw.
That's a game.
But then they host the Jets, go to the Browns, host the Steelers. Now, and Ravens-Steelers is always a good one, but that's in Baltimore. But, again, I wouldn't say that's quite as tough as the Patriots' schedule here down the stretch, but they've got some challenge. I mean, do you really think they're going to win out? I don't.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
I could see a couple more losses in there.
Well, and again, you touched on it earlier, the fact that they had the bye week to prepare for the Patriots. That game plan that they had was great coming out. You know, it highlighted their strengths on offense. It looked at the Patriots on tape and said, you know what? These guys can't keep up with the speed of Lamar, so let's get them running early and let's get them moving early. And even those plays where, you know, he'd take the snap and then he'd pitch it to Ingram, you know, and he'd just spring him free,
yep.
You know, outside the numbers. Like, that, to me, is a perfect way to run the ball against the Patriots. They were just – Patriots weren't getting any edge. They weren't getting any edge in that game. And I put it on some of the linebackers didn't perform the way they typically perform for the Patriots. That's where the defense and the attitude and everything starts with them. And a guy like Jamie Collins was not great in this game.
No, early on, he made a mistake, and he got pulled out.
Mm-hmm.
He got pulled out of the game.
Yep, and as much praise as we've showered Jamie Collins with, you know, this was not a good game for him.
Right.
It wasn't, and this is all good. These are all good things for the Patriots. They're not perfect.
Yep.
No one's perfect. Nobody. It's just, this is a great thing for Belichick, for this team. And to spring them forward, you know, through the toughest part of the schedule that's coming up here.
You know, you say that, but you still don't like to have questions about yourself. You know what I mean?
Well, that's not on the defensive side, like we said. To me, it's the offense.
Right.
And you know, does health factor in there? I'm not sure. But I think the offense can be good enough with the defense playing at a high level for them to win the Super Bowl. I do. I think as much as we talk about concerns and all those things, this team can win the Super Bowl, Scott. It can if it puts it all together and scores enough where it needs to, and its defense holds teams down as much as they need to. Like, it, they can still go out and accomplish the ultimate goal with what they have right now, and they're going to get little improvements here as we go along.
Are we assuming that Wynn will be in the lineup next week in Philadelphia?
He can't be.
Oh, he can't be?
No, it's 3 games, not 3 weeks. So he has to miss. So he started practicing.
Okay.
He has to miss the Ravens. And he has to miss. So he's got to play against the Cowboys.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't realize it was 3 games.
It's 3 games. I believe it's, yeah. But I know he can't play against the Eagles.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got to be.
N'Keal Harry.
N'Keal Harry was eligible to play against the Ravens.
Right.
He could have played this past week.
And Wynn is back at practice.
Wynn is back at practice.
Yeah.
So the clock has started. But I think, you know, I don't know what the rule exactly says, but the bye week doesn't count as like a week of, you know, practice or whatever. So he's got to play against the Cowboys, which, you know, it'd be nice to have him against the Eagles coming out of the bye. It looks like he's, you know, almost ready to go, if not already ready to go. But, yeah, he can't play until the Cowboys game.
All right, 401-737-1287, the phone number if you'd like to join us. The text line is open as well, 37937. You're listening to Cordishian and Coit on WEEI.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.